1-4, and this is far from a 1-4 football team. They are, you know, you say it, but it's. I mean, they're four plays away from being 4-1, without a doubt. So they're very well coached, and I know they are battling through some disappointment because they've had some heartbreakers. Michigan State game in overtime, Stanford game, they got a big lead and got away from them on a couple plays, and then ended up losing that one. Then they got the Cal game one, and comes down to the last play, lose that one. So they've had some real heartbreakers, you know, as so have we. And but they have competed their butts off. And then this past week, kind of got away. They had a bunch of guys out. I mean, I don't know if y'all saw their injury report, but they had a ton of guys out, especially on defense. They had at least 10 guys out on defense, and just got in a hole early and against Pitt. I mean, it's a good team. I mean, literally a few plays from 4-1. And very impressed when you watch the tape. It's probably the best OL we've played as far as how they play together as a group. This is a really good offensive line, big, strong, well-coached. Back's a really good player. He's downhill. He's actually from Rock Hill. You know, he'd be excited to play the Tigers. They use him a lot in the passing game. I think they've got really good receivers. You know, four, I think, is an NFL guy. This guy's 6'5", 217 pounds. He's a big body kid. 11's going to be the all-time lead receiver in Boston. He's a really good player. 17 is a guy that they get the ball a ton. They got a couple other speed guys. I think one's been out for him. He's a good player. I don't know if he'll be back or not. You know, multiple formations. They do a good job as far as creating, you know, formational challenge as far as how you line up and defending extra gaps, a ton of play action, a lot of max protection to get the shots downfield. And that's probably the biggest thing, you know, looking at them. I mean, they're 11th in the nation in passing, you know, so they're throwing the ball all over the park, but it comes through the run game. You know, there's a ton of play. It's not like they're just dropping back and letting it rip. There's a ton of play action you know, really good scheme. The quarterback, I think, is a very good player. He's a kid we recruited. He's from down in Snellville, Georgia. He signed with Alabama, but he's a very good player. Again, 11th in the country in passing. They schematically really stress you, you know, with how they go about you know, creating their shots through the run, the play action, a bunch of screens, and you know, manipulation plays with throwbacks and things like that built into it. Backs free releasing a lot. I think he's maybe third or so in receiving on the team, so you got to account for him. So I was very impressed. You know, watching the tape, you don't know anything about a record. You just watch the tape, and you're like, man, these guys they play tough. They're well coached. Quarterback, I think, is an elite thrower. He's very accurate. They got skill outside, and they got a tough runner in the backfield. So I think it's a big challenge for us. And then on the other side, same thing. Big, strong, you know, physical guys up front. You know, typical big physical linebackers that you always think about at BC, and just a bunch of tight coverage. You know, you got to make plays against these guys. I think they're well coached. They do a good job with their press technique. They do a good job getting hands on guys. You can tell they know and believe in their scheme. Got a couple big hitters. You better know where Zero is. He's a guy that shows up on tape every single week. Plays really hard for them. So physical group, tough group, a lot of pressure, a ton of pressure with this team, a lot of movement. And so, you know, it's a tough matchup for us, and excited about the challenge. But, you know, again, night game, Chestnut Hill. It'd be a great environment and a great college football game. Look forward to it. Good team. Any questions?
Is Elijah Thurman, is he getting closer?
Yeah, he's just kind of day-to-day right now. He'll be out this week, but he's, you know, not long-term.
It's just one game, but what did you see from guys in the locker room after just finally getting a win on the board, playing well, like you said, and is that kind of carried over? You felt like people are looser, lighter, that type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great locker room. I mean, we have had some heartbreaks, and just had, but honestly, we hadn't played well. I mean, that's just another way to say it. And so I think, again, we won the Troy game, but we didn't play well. And so it was good. It was good for them to win the game for sure, but to play well and to really see and feel what that looks like when they really put it all together as a group, complimentary wise. So no question. I mean, they played with great execution on both sides of the ball. And, you know, it was fun to watch the tape, you know, and you just see it, you know, and it's fundamentals, it's precision in what you're doing, it's making the critical play, it's making the routine play, you know. That part was really good. And, you know, so now we got to create consistency in performance, you know, so that comes through practice and it's confidence. Hopefully they're coming out of it with some confidence. They can be reminded of, no, this is who you are. You know, I mean, again, when you have a tough start like we have at a place like Clemson, I mean, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of criticism and things like that. And these are young people, and can affect your confidence. So for them to be able to have a game like that and hopefully be reminded, like, this is who you are, and you know, now you guys got to build on it again. Just the same things that won that game are the same things that can win the next game, you know. And it's just doing the little things well, you know. I think we've had really good preparation all year, honestly, but you know, taking it to game day. So another opportunity this week, and just thought the mindset and kind of, you know, with a reset with those guys was good. So, but it doesn't get any easier. I mean, everybody we play, we know we're going to get everybody's best, and this is a good football team. It's a good football team, for sure. They're well coached and tough physical group that you got to go beat. You know, they're not gonna give you anything.
You mentioned reminding players who they are. Just curious, what's that look like? Is that showing them film or like words of encouragement? How do you get them going to like remember how talented they could live up, play to the level of their talent?
Yeah, all of the above. I mean, it's certainly you know, your meetings and your encouragement and watching a ton of film. And then it's just going and doing it and getting the results, you know. I think that's a big part of it, coming off a game like that. Because, again, sometimes you got some guys that are really playing well, but they're not getting the results, you know. So you kind of want those guys to continue doing what they're doing. And then other guys that haven't played as well, like, how do we get them going? And how do we encourage them? How do we, you know, you know, whether it's watching more, you know, some tape differently or whatever it is. But the guys responded well, and again, just, you know, the energy, the complimentary aspect of it, and something they can gain some confidence from. But it's just one game, and got to try to build one week at a time, one day at a time, big day today.
Did you get to see Batman?
Did I see Batman? No, I didn't see Batman. I told Cade, I was like, you know, like, sometimes, again, I think these guys – when you get in a situation, you forget who you are, because everybody's telling you what you're not, and sometimes you can lose your confidence a little bit or whatever, or try to do too much. And you know, that was kind of what I told him. I'm like, listen, man, I mean, like, you're Batman, like, you know, but you're my message was more, you're Cade Klubnik, like, just be Cade. And so I mean, he was awesome. That was obviously a tremendous performance by him. And so hopefully that can, you know, get him back on track and just playing with the type of confidence that we need him to play with, because he's a really good player. And just good to see him, you know, playing free.
Because what do you mean by you're a bad man? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, I'm just, you know, just like, you can do something about it. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't have to, like, you can do something. I mean, you don't have to, you're Superman. You ain't got to stay down in this hole. You can just fly right out of it, right? Like, you know, remember who you are, you know. And that's just kind of was really just a message for the team. It was a message for certainly for Cade, and you know, going into that game, like as we reset, like, you guys have forgotten who you are. I mean, and we're playing, you know, not anywhere near to our capabilities. A few guys in particular, and it just certainly worked. Compliment each other. but we can do something about it. There's a lot of teams out there that they lose games and they're just not very good. Can't do anything about it. You know, we can, but we gotta be who we are, and we gotta, you know, play to our capabilities. And just good to see them, you know, have a game like that.
Hypothetically speaking, what kind of words of encouragement would you have for Bill Belichick, considering kind of what he's going through right now and the scene that they had there in North Carolina?
Bill Belichick doesn't need any words of encouragement from me. He's been doing this a lot longer than me. He's not his first rodeo.
You've seen ugly in college football. I mean, you've seen empty stadiums, and you've seen people booing and walking out.
Yeah, I have. I've seen it, lived it. That's the unfortunate side of this, but it's what we all sign up for. We all understand that. I mean, you got to take the good and the bad with it and just do the work every day. And I don't think there's anybody better than him. I mean, he's going to show up and do the work. I'm not here to talk about North Carolina.
With him growing up close by, how excited is Ronan for this game, and what kind of message do you give to him to kind of control the emotions in a sort of homecoming like this?
Oh, he's just super excited. I mean, Ronan's a guy that's pumped to play every week. He's pumped to practice. You know, he's just one of them guys that loves it. I mean, he's a gym rat, as people say. I mean, he loves practice. He loves training. He loves everything that comes with it. He loves film study. There's no part of football that Ronan doesn't love. So, you know, and he told him, in fact, yeah, we're going to Boston. That's just kind of a unique thing for him. He'll be a captain for us in this game. So, excited for him. You know, he's got a brother at Boston. He's got a brother at West Virginia. You know, he's here. He comes from a athletic family. His dad was a good player. You know, I'm sure there'll be probably 100 Hannifins or somehow related up there, I'm sure. But, you know, it's awesome for him. Exciting to be able to. We haven't played, I guess we went up there in 22, maybe? 22. So we haven't been up there in a while. So good opportunity for him.
You said last night that TJ had his best game, TJ Parker.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little bit what you saw on film with him?
Yeah, I mean, he's player of the game for us. I mean, he was disruptive. He's flying around. I mean, he's making some extra effort plays, you know, defeating blocks, you know, just creating pressure, reading things properly. You know, he created TFL, just took the tight end right into the guy. I mean, he just really played really loose and just flying around having some fun out there. And it was good to see.
And that was another guy you kind of wanted to see be bad, yeah, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that he's played bad. I thought he played really good against LSU. But then I think he's just another guy that I think was a little bit affected by things he doesn't control. And, you know, you got to – that you can't let external things affect your performance. You just play to a standard, period, the end. And I just think he was one of those guys that wasn't playing bad, just not really playing like we know he can play. And so he was disruptive. Again, a ton of energy. And I think he just was focused on playing well and nothing else. And he played his best game, very productive.
Adam Randall up over 100 total yards. I think that's the third time in the last four games it's happened. Has he been everything you guys hoped he would be as a weapon out of the backfield?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's 400-plus all-purpose games in a row for him. So dynamic, that's what we thought he'd be. I'd say he's probably been maybe even better than what we hoped for as far as making a transition. I'm really proud of him. I mean, he's been good every game. I mean, he's had a couple plays here or there, but he's given us a chance every single game. I know he's just played with a ton of passion, a ton of toughness, a ton of heart, and he's dynamic. I mean, he's making plays in all areas, receiving, returning, rushing. He's given us an opportunity to win, and really proud of him. I mean, it's nobody deserves it more.
How would you rate his pass throw and, I guess, also the other set running back? Just, y'all been pressured a lot. I'm just curious.
Yeah. He's been good for the most part. He's had a couple. He missed a corner cat one of the games. And know, he didn't have any issues in the past game, this past week. We had a miscommunication with the OL. Was on the OL, not on Adam, but he's done good. I mean, he's picked up a couple of good key blitzes along the way. Again, he missed a cat in one of the games that hurt us, but, I mean, he's smart. He understands it. And then, you know, this past week was just really good to, you know, feel like you're getting in the rhythm of just playing in a good rotation. You know, Gid and Easy are just getting better every single week, every day at practice. Thought Gid went in there and did some good stuff. Same with Easy. So, I mean, we like our guys. We just haven't had a ton of opportunity with some of those guys early on in our season. So it was good to have a game where we could really, you know, just let them play and let them develop. So I think you'll see those guys continue to get better. But we're not disappointed. Just young guys getting better.
Christian Smith reported a season high in receptions and yards on Saturday. Just what do you continue to see from him, and how does he continue to carve a rollout on this offense?
Yeah, so he's had back-to-back good games for us. It's two good games in a row that he's shown up, made some plays. I think early on, just, you know, first couple games, just, you know, really being able to trust him. And so he's been practicing really well. So he's just earning more trust. And, you know, he is a matchup, you know, problem. He's got unbelievable length. And he's really, you know, a skilled guy at finishing on the ball. And he's, you know, you wouldn't think it, but he's a really good after the catch guy. You know, similar for you guys that have been around here, similar to remember Aaron Kelly. You know, similar to that. Aaron was a 6'5" guy, and, you know, but Aaron, what made him unique was he could run with the ball after the catch, and this kid's similar to that. He's hard to bring down. He's kind of slinky, and so we're proud of him. A couple good games. We need him to keep coming. It'd be a big challenge this week. Again, it's a lot of man-to-man, a lot of competitive plays, so we'll have to win some matchups.
Coach, your first win as a head coach was at Boston College. You've got that awesome photo in your office from there. What are the feelings associated with going back there?
Yeah, I just, you know, I think, when was that, 08? I'm trying to think. I guess I went up there, I don't know, maybe once as an assistant. Was that the first time I went up there? And that was the first time I'd been to Boston. I didn't know, you know, Boston was like some mythical place off in another, you know, hemisphere. I didn't know. I'd just never been up there. So it was kind of cool the first time I went up there as an assistant, and that was a neat trip and experience. But obviously, going up there in 08, it was different circumstances. I mean, we were, and they were a really good team, and a really good team. And we're 3-4, I think, at the time. And, you know, we needed a win. And that was an amazing, you know, we had a tough loss against Georgia Tech in that first game. You know, Grisham threw the pick six, and then TA got the holding call on a sprint out that we hit Jacoby Ford on. It was unbelievable. We could have set up a game-winning kick there. So we were down. But, you know, the guys were good spirits. We were coming off an open date. And it was just, you know, it was just one of them games. And if I remember correctly, we got up, I think it was like 17-0. We got up a big, I think it was a big lead early. Then they come back. And, it was just a magical night. I mean, Spiller had a huge kick return. Aaron Kelly, huge plays. D-Mac had some big plays in that game. All those guys, James Davis, all those guys, you know, were just, you know, it was a great game. And somehow or another, we made one more play than they did. And that's definitely ranks up there one of the coolest moments I've ever experienced. Because it just kind of gave us a shot in the arm and kind of solidified a little bit of the belief that we were trying to instill in those guys. And you know, because again, we were 3-4 football team. You got seniors that are going to be done in a few weeks. But getting those guys to compete and have fun playing football, and just all about that moment, that day, it was awesome. So seems like yesterday. Yeah, it really was. But that was one I'll never forget. It's the first one. And we get, you know, this is a trophy. It's the Rourke McFadden trophy, the leather helmet. You know, they've been doing that. So obviously we hadn't played them since 22. So I'm sure that'll be a part of it as well. Spiller, I think, was the first leather helmet guy.
Is it about that atmosphere that makes it such a tough place to kind of go in and play? The fact that they put those tough, big old kids out on the line.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just the type of team they always have. You know, it's just a tough-minded, physical group every year. I mean, as long as I've gone against Boston College, there's just certain things. It doesn't matter who the coach is. I mean, you just can count on that. I think it's just the culture of the place. I mean, it's just a tough-minded town. You know, I think that resonates, you know, with the kids there. And I think it's just something that's been a part of that program for a long time. You from Boston?
My dad is.
Oh, here you go.
I am.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, is that right? Is that accurate? I mean, it's just a tough-minded town. And again, I think from a program standpoint, that's a culture that's been there for a long, long time. And certainly Billy O, I mean, I've known Bill forever. I mean, he fits that perfectly, right? Like, he's a great fit for that program, and I think he's a really good coach. And when you watch their team and how things are schematically laid out, they're very well coached, and they play tough and they play physical, and that's always been the case at BC.
Their young quarterback, pretty impressive in that first half against Pitt.
Yeah, I mean, he's really good. I mean, this kid can spin it now. I mean, he's incredibly accurate. He's very, very accurate player. So he was a highly recruited guy. We had him in camp. He's I think the scheme that they play is a really perfect. It's a great marriage. You know, I think the his skills and the scheme is a perfect marriage because he wants to push it downfield. And I mean the max pro play action shots, cross country routes, is really set up for him well, you know. So, and they got some guys that can run. So he's a good player. Like I said, very, very accurate, very good understanding of what they do. And then Bill does, and their offensive people, they do a good job of good play design to give them opportunities to be successful. And Back's a good player. You know, Turbo. He's a good player. They list him at 5'8", but he sure looks a lot bigger than that. I mean, he's a thick kid. Good downhill runner for him.
Jake Park's averaging 31-plus snaps a game. Is that the biggest step he's taken as far as just being able to stay on the field be productive while on the
sure.
field?
Yeah, I mean, that's been kind of the big knock on him for his career, right? Is just availability. You know, there's been early on it was just dependability, trustability. You know, learning what to do, getting just maturing as a player. But then as he got to where he was ready to go do it, it was availability. You know, just a lot of injuries and a lot of setbacks along the way, so that's been a real positive for him. He's helped himself. I mean, this has been a good year for him. He's played well. You know, he's been a very steady guy for us. And but as you said, I mean, for him to be able to just be available week in and week out has been a awesome thing for him, because that has not been the case.
With Jeremiah getting the start, it seemed like there were more snaps allocated to linebackers and more of that three linebacker look. Is that something like best use of personnel going forward, or was that a one-off based on the matchups in the game?
This is personnel. I mean, you're not going to put Jeremiah out there to cover Antonio Williams. When teams are 11 personnel, you know, it's just hard to play, you know, true Sam linebackers. I mean, without being very predictable, you know, in what you do, is you're not going to have your Sam play a lot of man coverage. If you're in a personnel like that, you got to have somebody really unique. Just style of play. I mean, they're a lot of 12 personnel, some 13. Similar this week, they're more 11. You know, when you think BC, you think a lot of 12 and 13, but they're actually more 11 than that. But they will have a pretty good dose of some 12 and a little bit of 13 as well. So, yeah, you're just matching up personnel and putting yourself in position to be successful. And then down and distance, you know, all that stuff as well.
How would you assess Jeremiah, Kobe D, those sort of next guys in the help? How would you assess them?
They're getting better. They're getting better. I mean, you know, I think the more that they are playing, the more confidence they're getting, the more engaged it creates. The environment is at practice, you know, when those guys know they're going in, they know they're going to play. You know, there's a lot of competition. It takes a little bit, it takes some off of Sammy and Wade as well. And again, just creates the competitive depth that you want. So it's been good. I mean, we played five guys. I think we got Fletcher in there as well. So I think we played, and Fletcher's a good sixth guy, which is the reason we were able to hold Jamal. You know, we just felt like, okay, we're in a good spot right here. Let's try to get this year back, you know, for Jamal. And those guys are doing a good job. I mean, D played well. He had one, you know, where he overran. He should have been a TFL, and he wasn't in his gap. But, again, just playing. You know, their effort's good. They're flying around. Details, we got to do a little better job with some of our route recognition, especially in our zone coverages and some of our hot coverages. You know, some spatial awareness, you know, and just feeling some of the route concepts. I think we can do a little better job with that, you know, especially when we got to push to the flat on some wide alignments off the RPO, play action stuff. So there's a lot of room for improvement. Wish we'd have made the pick. That was a nice play by Jeremiah. He was where he needed to be, read it well, got two hands on it. But, it's, you know, Jeremiah hadn't played a lot in his career. So it's just good for him to, you know, because I think the more he plays and the more confidence he gets, the more his natural attributes can show up. And same thing with Kobe. Kobe's a guy we trust. We were playing, he was on his way to playing a good bit for us last year before he got, you know, out for the year. And then, you know, D is coming. So it's been good. Been good.
Tink made that one play on the goal line. Was this maybe one of his better games? Is he?
Who was that?
Tink.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of his games, he continues to progress.
Yeah, I mean, same thing. Just the more he plays, he's still a young player. He's a sophomore and hadn't played a lot, was really out his freshman year, was injured all year, and then, you know, not a lot last year, a little bit here or there, and then, you know, won the job. I mean, he just won the job in camp. You know, Tom really likes him. And so, you know, just – and then, but even that, he's missed at least one game this year. Maybe two, but he's missed at least one. But he's just gaining confidence every day. And just, you know, a guy that I think needs to continue just to study, continue to do a little extra, because I think the more he does, the more confident he gets. Just like I said with Jeremiah, his skill set will shine through. He's a very competitive kid. He's strong, takes a lot of pride in his performance. So, yeah, he's been a good player for us, you know. A lot of room for improvement, but you see his confidence growing.
I know you've talked about this a few times, but how did you feel the dynamic on the sideline change having Tom Allen there?
You know, just I just think I'd say maybe confidence. You know, you just could see – it helps when you throw a touchdown from the first play, 75-0. That don't hurt 75 yards. So the energy was great, and I think – regardless of where Tom was in that game, they just made their mind up they were going to go win the game. And, I mean, just simple as that. And I was really proud of that because I just really felt that in their mindset. Because, you know, hey, when you do this and you get disappointment, there's a lot of things that you got to manage with young people, and especially at a place like Clemson, and you got high expectations. And how do you respond? So, but I just really felt great energy from the team. And, I mean, these guys were ready to play. And I just really felt them together. Tom being down there, you know, just I think it just furthered that confidence, you know. I think ramped up the accountability just maybe a little bit more, you know. So it was good. It certainly wasn't a negative.
How do you assess the tight end room through five games?
Very consistent, a bright spot for our team. They've been a real bright spot. You know, play here or there, but very consistent. Great future at that position.
You mentioned the zone awareness. Has that
been kind of a common theme this season with the other offense, but finding those soft spots sort of behind the
Especially off some of the RPO stuff, it creates conflict. And so, you know, just where your drops are, when you do as much disguising as we do, you know, getting where you need to be. There's been a couple times where we've had a couple guys kind of in the same spot, and we really need to be, you know, this guy's pushing to the flat. Alignment, recognizing it sooner, knowing what strains you. So, yeah, there's just little details that we got to clean up and just keep working through and getting better. Across the board, not just at backer, safety, corner, everywhere.
Where do you feel like Nolan Huser is at confidence-wise, performance-wise so far this season?
Inconsistent. I mean, you know, I mean, he's missed a couple of 50-plus yarders. So just, you know, hadn't had a ton of opportunity. How many field goals did we kick? Hadn't many.
Five or six.
Yeah, we hadn't kicked many. So missed a couple of long ones, but – for the most part, done a nice job making the ones we need him to make, the routine.
There was one, I think it was in the second quarter against UNC, he lined up, UNC called a timeout as he was kicking it, he ended up pooch punting. Was that, did the calculus change during the timeout, or what were you thinking in that?
Yeah, changed during the timeout. It was a low kick, and they got their hand on it, so I fired him. And I said, okay, we're going to pooch it. He didn't like it. I said, well, you should have made a better kick. So what happened?
Is the low kick thing maybe one of the things for him?
No, he really hadn't. He really hasn't. He's not a low kick guy. I just thought it was ugly. And I was like, well, hey, you should have made a better pass on the timeout call, or just don't kick it. You know, if he hadn't kicked it, I would have probably gone in and kicked it. I felt good about how our defense was playing, but after that, I'm like, well, I'm going to pooch it. So that was a in the moment decision. You coach those guys when the timeout's coming, you know, to try to snap it, kick it, just, you know, worked out against him in that sense. But he's been good in practice. I mean, he's been good. What was that, a 54, 52-yarder or so? But I thought we were playing good on defense. That dictates a lot of those things, but I just didn't like how it looked on that first one. So, and I said, well, let's play a little field position. And we were able to get a stop. That was good. Something we haven't done a good job of this year when we have created field position, keeping it. So that was a huge part of the game that it doesn't really show up on somewhere. But that's been a real challenge for us. You know, even like the opening drive of Georgia Tech, we stopped them on fourth down, but you run the offense out there on the 5-yard line. And so, you know, just creating field position was a big goal in that game, and that was a part of it too.
Why do you think opposing offenses have had so much success on their opening drives of the game so far this year?
Well, I thought we played probably as good as we've played on that opening drive. Just kind of had a fluke play. I mean, we hit him. If AV doesn't hesitate, if you watch the tape, he's a quarterback guy all the way, and for some reason he's going to the quarterback, but then he takes a step and then he goes back, and if he doesn't take that step, he hits him, and maybe it's a fumble, but that ball gets hit and it's, you know, 21-yard gain. I mean, that didn't help. So I thought we had a good first drive, but just there were a couple plays, that being one of them, that kind of put us in a little bit of a hole. And they end up making the field goal. But, I mean, got to give the other team credit too. I mean, but I don't think we've done some of the little things well. There's been a couple plays there that we need to make. And I think, you know, other teams have good players and good coaches too. But it was good to see us hold them to a field goal right there. And then they didn't score again.
You think
our ones.
Backup offensive line late did a good job of opening holes between the tackles.
Yeah, I thought Rock got in there, big Ronan. He's a big physical kid. Thought he did a nice job. Again, as I mentioned, I guess last night, you know, Harris got to play some center, which was really good. And I thought he looked athletic. He did a nice job of commanding it. That was good to see. We got Braden got up in there. So it was good to get a new group of guys in there, you know, coming off the ball. And we got Ian Reed got in there. You know, this kid, you talk about a great story. I mean, people have no idea what Ian has been through in his career. The fact that he's able to even get out on the field is a miracle. And I was really proud of him, you know, to be able to get out there and know what to do. So, you know, he's still just a redshirt freshman guy. You know, missed, I guess, all of last year. But really happy for him, proud of him. So, it's good to play all those guys. The only guy we held was Gavin, and that was intentional. Who we were really high on him, but kind of saving his four games as long as we can. Didn't want to put him in there in a situation like that. Because we'd play Gavin in the first quarter if we had to. Like, he's a kid we trust. Like, if something happened, you know, that's why we're trying to save his games as long as we can, those four. Because he's a guy for sure that can help us.
About that game last night for Trevor Lawrence, going from catastrophic to clutch in the
end. I was trying to go to sleep, and I couldn't go to sleep. So I was so happy for Trevor. I mean, just awesome. I hate it for Andy Reid because I love Andy Reid too. But you know, it's a long trip home. You know, it was a tough game like that. I mean, you know, they haven't had quite the start that they want, but they'll, you know, keep playing. I thought they played well, but I was so happy for Trevor. I mean, Travis played awesome. Great to see him have a big game. He's having a great year. And then, they're getting him the ball. But, I mean, Trevor was – that's a game he needed. You know, Monday Night Football against Mahomes. It's his birthday. If you're going to win it, you're going to have to make some throws in that window right there, and he did. I mean, he made some big-time plays. The throw to Thomas Kidd on the side was a heck of a play. The throw over on the left side, I mean, that was a great play. And then just, you know, he looked like – I mean, that was a complete disaster on the last play, getting stepped on. And, you know, but he somehow or another, he got up untouched and was able to get in there. And that was the other thing, too. He made some big plays with his legs, you know, which we've all seen that. So I was just really happy for him. It's just one of those games. They're 4-1. You know, that's a momentum type game. But man, Trevor will be the first guy in the building. He'll be the first guy back at work. He'll be the first guy grading himself. Like, I got to be better. I got to this. I got to that. And you know, nothing matters. You know, he won't be walking around saying we're 4-1. He's going to just be focused on trying to win the game. And on the other side, Mahomes will be the same way. He ain't going to be walking around pouting. They're 2-3. He'd be pissed, but they'll go find a way to win the next one. That's why they're such a good football team. And it was a great game. It was a great game. A lot of big plays on both sides.
Any questions for Coach virtually? Anybody else in the room?
Long way to go, obviously, but what's it like to look at the ACC standings and see Tony Elliott and Virginia at the top?
Oh, man, yeah, it's just super proud of Tony. I mean, you know, I think they're the epitome of a team that believes, you know. I mean, they're playing together, and they believe. And that is a powerful thing when you get a team that's really, really together and really, truly believes. And then Chandler, you know, I've known Chandler forever since he's a little bitty kid. Man, he's just, you know, the team's kind of taking on his personality. You know, he's a fighter. He's gritty. He's kind of got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I don't think he gets a lot of credit, but he's a tough little gritty dude. And but it's just awesome. I mean, they've had, what, three losing seasons in a row? And they've been through a lot. And, you know, to just – man, I've just – I couldn't be more proud of Tony, and I'm so happy for him, and I'm thankful for, you know, Carla and the administration, everybody up there, for hanging in there with him. You know, it'd be very easy to just give up on a guy, but man, Tony's special. He's special, and he always has been, and man, that's just, it's fun to see, and you know, hopefully they can keep it going. But I'm super proud of him, but again, the team, he's got a team that's playing with a. You know, when you win a couple of those games, you know, they've had a couple overtime wins, you know, but when you got a team that's truly together and a team that's playing with an unshakable belief, magic can happen. And maybe sometimes you can, you know, win a game maybe you're not supposed to win on paper. And when you do that, next thing you know, you get a lot of synergy. And so it's just been awesome. And, you know, Tony's, again, what they've been through up there from when he first got that job. But I think that was God's plan to take him there for that reason, because he's the right leader, you know, for what they've been through. And he's done a good job. You know, staff's hung in there. And fun to see.
Antonio Williams is a 4-for-4 passing in his career. Just what makes him a versatile player that you and your staff trust in those situations, to throw the ball in those situations?
Well, I mean, he's just a mature guy, first of all. He's a savvy athlete. You know, he's a good basketball player. I mean, he's just a good all-around athlete, but he can throw it. I mean, he's just one of those guys that's got to, you know, you always figure out who can throw. They all think they can throw, but they can't. But he actually can throw, you know. So, but he's just a guy you trust. I mean, he's just got great instincts for the game and awareness for the game. And you put the ball in his hands, like, you know, you don't think he's going to put you in a bad spot. You know, he'll throw it away if he needs to throw it away. He'll run it if he needs to run it. He's just got good instincts for the game, good savviness, and just a mature player. Pretty good odds, though. That's a pretty good percentage for him. Better know where he's at.
One more on Nolan, and just, I guess, kickers like field goal range. How much during a season can you kind of see where that is and maybe make decisions on fourth downs because of it? And
the guys, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, from the 33, I mean, I don't have any hesitation. I mean, literally from, I mean, I'd let him kick a 60. He just will get his mojo back. I mean, I threw him out there for a 56-yarder in a championship game. So, I mean, I trust the kid. But he's had a couple misses this year. The first one he missed he hit that ball well. Was that like a 54-yarder or something like that, 50-something yarder against LA? He really hit it well. I mean, it was just a little right, I think. But so he missed a couple I felt like he should have made. But – you know, those are long kicks, but anything inside the 30 for him should be automatic. That's just what we expect. I mean, this guy's made more field goals than any high school kid in the history. So he's made a ton of them. But then there's, how's your defense playing? Who's their offense? You know, what's the flow of the game? There's just a lot of factors that go into it. How are we playing on offense? You know, we went for it a couple times on fourth down. Last week, and in fact, and we hit them. I think we scored the very next play after both fourth downs. So those are huge conversions when you make those plays.
You talked about Corey Gibson playing the nickel. Yeah. Or I guess where is he in his development?
Yeah, he's not as far along as we'd like, but we're ramping that up because obviously now we've got a little bit of a gap there. You know, losing Shelton. Shelton's a good player and you know, a critical guy for us. So, you know, now all of a sudden we got a little bit of a gap, so we're having to create some depth that kind of puts a little more on Noah. So Noah hadn't been getting as many reps, so now he's getting more reps, and then we're trying to kind of manufacture a little depth. And Gip's actually a guy that long-term we felt like could be a guy for that position, but we're really just trying to, with him coming off the injury last year, we really just felt like, okay, as a redshirt freshman this year, like we really wanted to get him really locked in at corner and get him confident. Because it ain't just easy to go in there and play the slot, you know, where you got two-way goes. There's a lot going on, you know. When you go play corner, that's not easy either, but at least you got a boundary. You got a buddy right there, right? Right? It's always two-on-one. You got Sammy Sideline out there with you. So the slot's different. It's a little different. And then there's fitting in the run game and you know, pressures. I mean, there's just more to it. And he was a guy that we felt like, hey, let's get him really locked in and confident in corner, and we'll go from there. But, yeah, at this point now, we got to kind of force the issue with him.
Anybody else for Coach? All right. Thank you, Coach.
See y'all in Boston.
The Clemson Tigers are shipping up to Boston this week to take on the Boston College Eagles, and we've got you covered right here on The Roar. Starting at 1:30 p.m. with the Ingles Tiger pregame show, then Faxon and his crew will take over live in studio at 4:30 with the Tiger tailgate show. Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of all the action, and Dono Clark and I will get you to the finish line with the fifth quarter show. We are the voice of your Clemson football game day. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports, all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina, like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper, Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News, and Mark Sturges from ESPN Upstate. Straight Up Sports is about the stories, just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved. Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Swamp Fox Distilling in Pendleton has partnered with The Roar, and we're raising money for Tigers for Tatas. Throughout the entire month of October, they're donating 50% of their sales of orange and vanilla all-in rum and all-pink merchandise. They also have raffle baskets that include rum bottles signed by head coach Dabo Sweeney and others. Visit Swamp Fox Distilling, located at 128 Exchange Street, downtown Pendleton on the Square. Open Thursday through Saturday from 2 to 7 p.m.
Harrison's is the home of Work Western, and wow! For nearly 30 years, our family has been boots on the ground when it comes to work. The key to our success is great partners like Ariat. We have the largest selection of Ariat in the Carolinas. Need comfortable work boots? Can't go wrong with Ariat. Want to show out at the rodeo? Can't go wrong with Ariat. Looking to wow on date night? Yep, Ariat. Work staples, Western favorites, and casual styles to wow any crowd. Shop Ariat at Harrison's in Malden and Spartanburg, or online at harrisonsusa.com.
Every decision counts, and IMS makes it easier. From motors and pumps to gearboxes and drives, Industrial Motor Service delivers proven solutions that save money, reduce downtime, and simplify purchasing. Whether you need a repair or a replacement, they've got you covered with clear quotes, quick responses, and decades of repair history to guide the right call. For 35 years, plant managers and procurement leaders have trusted Industrial Motor Service. IMS, your partner since 1989. Visit industrialmotorservice.com.
Coming to the Wahala Performing Arts Center on October 17th. Don't miss The Stranger, a tribute to Billy Joel. Experience the magic of Billy Joel's greatest hits, from Piano Man to Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, performed by one of the most authentic tribute bands in the country. It's a night of unforgettable music, storytelling, and pure rock and roll nostalgia. Showtime is 7:30 p.m. Tickets now at WahalaPAC.com. That's WahalaPAC.com.
Thinking about a move to the upstate? Discover Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 3 miles from historic downtown and 8 miles from Clemson. Choose from one- or two-story designs starting in the mid-300s and customize every detail in their 3,900-square-foot design studio. Community pool opens in 2026. Move in fast or build your dream home and save up to $15,000 or lock in a low rate on a quick move-in home. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com and start your new chapter in the upstate.
Welcome back to this year's football season. Continue your tailgate traditions Clemson style with Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. Order your tailgating trays such as nuggets, strips, mac and cheese, or delicious cookies. Herb and Carol Tyler want to make sure we're a part of your Clemson tradition. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Seneca at 864-886-9080 to prepare for game day. You can also order online at ilovechickfilA.com or through the Chick-fil-A app.
We're here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, you guys can help a lot as far as preparing for those winter storms.
You know, winds come and storms happen, but if your tree is properly pruned, it's not going to fall to the storm like one that isn't. We would recommend that you prune it properly so the wind can get through it. Your tree can be healthy and strong. We don't want to top them out. If you top a tree, you're going to have a bigger problem in 3 to 5 years. You can find us on the web at SchneiderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
105.5 and 97.5. We are the Roar, where every day is game day. Kick it!
Final segment of the program here on a Tuesday with Fax and Childress and John Height on 105.5, 97.5, The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to get in and beat the buzzer. Dabo Swinney's press conference just concluded. Great stuff from Coach Sweeney with some great nuggets and great commentary. As always on Tuesday, jam-packed info about Boston College, the matchup, and more. John, you know, what were your just original takeaways from Coach Sweeney's press conference? Any specific quotes stick out? Any specific topics stick out to you?
I miss Aaron Kelly. I want Aaron Kelly to come back and play more football. I always love hearing the stories of that. Of that era of Clemson football when I was a student, and hearing him talk about the Thomas Austin holding call, which of course just, you know, when the game was in the line, that just seemed to magically occur. To hear talk about him, to Jacoby Ford, it was just very, it was a nice little trip down memory lane whenever this game occurs, whenever Clemson goes up to Boston College. It's always a nice trip down memory lane. I also thought it was interesting hearing Coach talk about what occurred in real time on Saturday in regards to the field goal, where that Nolan Hoosier missed the one where they, you know, called the timeout and said, all right, man, we're going to put you now.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was just an interesting way to look into kind of some of the real-time decision-making. Because, you know, you've always talked about, you know, does the kick before the timeout really impact what they're going to call? And I still think the majority of the time it doesn't. But it was interesting to hear Coach talk about a real-time discussion they were having on the sideline with that.
Yeah, it was interesting. And to be honest, I mean, I'm just a nerd about this, so I definitely think that plays an impact. But I always just love to hear what's going on inside the headset, right? Like any inside little nuggets you can get from the head ball coach as to what the decision-making process looks like on the sidelines. It gives clarity to everything that we're all wondering during games. Like I think with our position, John, people think we know more than we actually know as to what's going on with these game day type of decisions. We're sitting and watching the football game just like y'all, wondering what the decision-making process is sometimes. So definitely was cool to hear Coach Sweeney kind of articulate that and walk some things through. I also thought arguably the best play call of the season was the dropping back into pooch punt formation and rolling out to the right. I know we got a couple texts in on that yesterday, but that was a really creative wrinkle that they were able to throw in the playbook. And I'd like to see some more creativity along those lines, right? Just, you know, throwing different formations, different trick plays, different packages, and at this point, unload the clip as far as I'm concerned the rest of the way offensively. It's time to empty the bag in the middle of the season right now. There's no point in saving anything at this point. You need to just go out there and stack wins and win all your football games from here on out. So this weekend up at BC, I'm hoping to see more creativity from Coach Riley and his staff. Thought they did a phenomenal job this past week getting Clemson ready to go. The script was awesome. Obviously, the first play was awesome. Offense lit it up in the first quarter, and there's definitely a ways to go with the way that the game concluded, but a win is a win is a win, and you can't complain about a win, and now it's about stacking those and using this momentum to try and get up to Chestnut Hill and do exactly what we're talking about, John. W-I-N, win.
All you need to do is win. Facts, and tomorrow begins a streak of incredible feats. Tomorrow begins 55 straight days of football on your television with Conference USA gracing us with middle-of-the-week football starting tomorrow night. But I ask you this. It's on the television tonight. Are you paying attention to these Major League Baseball playoffs?
I'm going to be completely honest with the audience. I haven't really watched a single pitch of the Major League Baseball playoffs here in this divisional round. The Phillies Dodgers have not watched a pitch in real time. Cubs Brewers have not watched a pitch in real time. The Blue Jays have put the Yankees out of their misery in the first inning of both of the games, so that hasn't been worth flipping on the television. If there is a series that's going to captivate my interest and captivate a rooting interest, it's the Seattle Mariners. One of my best friends in the world, his whole family's from Seattle. He's getting married here in a couple weeks, so I'll be down there in Georgia and really looking forward to it. He's a lifelong diehard Mariners fan. We've given him crap his entire life. I changed my tune on this year because I was watching this Mariners team at the beginning of the year. And I'm like, you know what? This is a really likable group. And it was right when Raleigh was starting to get in his groove. So like, we've got an inside joke in my friend group that I've got the Midas touch and I've cursed the Mariners. I lifted that curse earlier this year. Use that information with what you will. I'm rooting for the Mariners. I'm rooting for my guy Parker. So shout out to Parker here on a Tuesday morning. That's the only reason I care at this point, is to root for the Seattle Mariners. I don't care about any of these teams left outside of that. I don't like any of these teams outside of that. And if I had to pick another team to win it, just throwing a dart at the board, I guess I don't mind the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are cool. So Mariners and Blue Jays is where I'm at. Nobody from the National League, and don't have a ton of interest, admittedly. Where are you at? Or have you been watching it all? Do you care?
Care is a loose word, but not particularly. No, I find myself like during the day telling myself I'm going to care in the evening, and then when it comes down to it, by the time I get my daughter to bed and We finally get the house settled and the puppy starts or stops being just, you know, a chaos agent. Major League Baseball just isn't really cutting it for me. So yeah. It's been more of catching up on some other shows and different things. I am going to try this afternoon to tune into some of this Mariners-Tigers game. But no, I'm not watching anything taking place in Yankee Stadium this evening.
Yeah, no. Definitely not watching
it.
Not doing
it. I would like to see Toronto go ahead and take care of this. But then again, this lowly upstart franchise who's never really won anything, the New York Yankees, according to you, it'd be nice to see the underdog story come all the way through.
I'm not rooting for them here. My Yankees fandom was two games. They went 2-0, and I immediately deviated. We're Blue Jays guys this series. Sorry, Mickey. I was only with you against the Red Sox. We're not. Have the Blue Jays... I don't want to risk sounding dumb. Have the Blue Jays ever won the World Series? Have they won the World Series one singular time? I can't recall off the top of my head if they have.
Not off the top of my head.
Blue Jays World Series wins. Let's do a quick Google search. I guess they got it in 92 and 93, it appears. So they've won it twice in 92 and 93. They beat the Braves in 92 and the Phillies
That's right.
in 93.
That is right. I was a very, very young lad.
Yeah, I can't speak to that. We're not open to that can of worms again. John, anything else before we get out of here?
On that note, I got nothing.
I'm excited to have football on the television tomorrow. Yeah, I guess I'm staking my claim for the Mariners and the Jays the rest of the way. I'd prefer if the Phillies didn't win. Definitely would prefer the Yankees not winning. Nobody likes the Dodgers. Sorry, Dodgers fans out there.
Pulling for Freddie Freeman? I thought you were a good Brave. Come on, man.
If I had to pick a team for NL rooting interest, I'd probably go with the Milwaukee Brewers. But excited to talk some more ball with y'all tomorrow. We'll be shifting gears to preview mode for this upcoming week. Quak and Ben up next over at the Smart Family Media Complex.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT, AM 1560 Cowpens.